starts right now.
Heard it from a friend who heard it from a friend who heard it from another. You've been messing around. They say you got a boyfriend. You're out late every week.
Like the sands through Carpenter's Creek, so are the days of our Pensacola. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
So here is a hypothetical question. What if the AG did provide indemnification? If he did, that would protect the purse of the city. In that hypothetical scenario, City Council members, I ask you, knowing Murray and Peter's reputation for blatant obscenity, and if you had indemnification, would you vote to cancel the show?
Did you think this thing had gone away? Did you think it was over? Oh, not until 3 days before Christmas, or 2 days before Christmas. 2 days before Christmas. So this is going back just a little bit in time to the most recent city council meeting. There's not another one this week, but I am sure that at the one next week, we will have more and hear more from the people against the Drag Queen Christmas put on by Murray and Peters, as Pastor Johnson there is explaining, and he's asking the question, okay, so Attorney General Uthmeyer writes this silly opinion. I mean, he would say very good opinion. I say silly opinion, about how the show is, you know, illegal and not protected and the city ought to get rid of it, in which he doesn't provide any real defense of the argument that it's acceptable to censor things. And he doesn't really indemnify the city, as it's not an attorney general opinion. It's just an opinion by an attorney general. It's, you know, they're different, right? Carries no legal weight. And James Johnson saying, well, you guys responded by saying that he didn't indemnify you. But what if he did, hypothetically, what would you do then? Would you cancel it?
I mean, really, would you? If you would, raise your hand right now. Mr. Mayor, would you?
I'm not personally a big fan of the, like, ask them, show of hands, say yes, say no, kind of, because that's not really how these meetings work. You know, the general rule is you address the chair and you say your things, and sometimes there's a little bit of that stunt element of it, trying to get them, you know, I see none of you raise your hands and that's on the record. You know, I mean, maybe. And I know that Pastor Johnson is trying to get his, you know, mission accomplished. I get that. And I've talked with him. I consider him a friend and a fellow Christian. We disagreed pretty vehemently on this particular issue, although we probably disagree less than you think, but we do disagree. Anyway, so, you know, he asked him to raise their hand and nobody's raising their hand.
So let the record show that not a single member of this council nor our mayor just raised their hand. Also, please let the record show that not only was Jeffrey Sharp instrumental in bringing Drag Queen Christmas to Pensacola, but that this city council and this mayor are standing idly by and allowing it.
There's not a record. It's not a court. There's a, you know, a minutes, but they're not going to have it in the minutes, like, because the member of the public called for it to be. It just doesn't work that way. I mean, there's a video. You know, you can see the video.
Mr. Sharp told us that there would be a police presence during the show. I hope the Pensacola police chief will familiarize the on-duty officers with the details of the test, because obscenity is coming to Pensacola's Sanger Theater.
I feel very comfortable they are going to have a briefing about what will and will not be considered a violation of the law and subject to arrest in this show. I would be very surprised if there's not a pretty good discussion about that before the show happens.
Please ask the police chief to get the paddy wagon warmed up and have handcuffs ready, because if you allow this and Drag Queen Christmas continues to do what they've done everywhere else, arrests will need to be made. And sadly, all of you will be culpable for it, but you don't have to be. I urge you to do the right thing and cancel this obscene show.
Just as a matter of fact, I'm curious whether the cops even have a paddy wagon or call it that. But yeah, I know where he's coming from. You know, he thinks they're going to be violating the law, and so we're going to have to be ready to arrest him. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Come on, computer. Brought to you by Executive Landscaping. They've joined Russell Landscape Group, combining trusted local service with regional strength to deliver exceptional landscape construction and maintenance across the Gulf Coast. Give them a call, 770-446-3552. Still dealing with that one accident that happened on going northbound on Davis Highway as you approach Olive Road. You're seeing just minor delays associated with that. But everything else on I-10, I-110, they're all flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. What's kind of interesting about this is you really do now have a both sides kind of thing going on, because the opponents are bringing more people all the time to speak. This is Kaylee Oker, I think is how you say her name.
I believe that a program that is blatantly sexual for the point of sexuality and comedy does not pass the Miller test and should not be considered protected art. Let me be clear, my concern is not that my tax dollars are going towards the upkeep and daily operations of the Sanger Theater that will host a drag show that goes against my religious and moral convictions. In fact, getting that money back is not my goal or the goal of any Christian I know here today to oppose the show. My concern is that my tax money is being sunk into a city where it is impossible to get a straight answer or honest conversation from elected officials regarding allocations of those funds towards a venue that will host lewd and obscene programs.
So for her, aside from canceling the show or the money, she's just frustrated that she feels that the city isn't really being responsive. The city council has not taken this up as an agenda item, and basically there's been a couple of comments here and there by the mayor and or by the city council and, of course, by the city attorney, Adam Cobb. And, you know, she says, you know, it's one headline if the show goes on. It'd be an even better headline if the city decided to move it. That would show you're listening to the citizens. To some citizens, you know, I would say, to some, okay. Naomi Hilton was another person who showed up. I had not heard her name before.
For a society that strives to uplift and honor and listen to the experiences of women, we are falling short. I don't need a man wearing provocative women's clothing, a wig, fake genitalia, and exposing himself to an audience to attempt to show me what womanhood is. That is nothing but a mockery of femininity. The joy of Christmas is not the purported queer joy that this performance presents and that its host Nina West claims to be spreading. It's not the fleeting entertainment found in an 18-plus performance that mocks the meaning of Christmas and mocks true womanhood and femininity. I hope to model to my daughter what true femininity and womanhood is: kind, gentle, loving, yet strong and uncompromising on the truth. I hope to show my son, who will be born in a few months, what true femininity and womanhood is, not a hollowed out, sexualized caricature or costume for men to wear and mock and objectify women with, but something to honor and protect.
So, you know, I mean, bringing the feminism question of it offending women. I still think that the more you lean on it being anti-Christian, the more it's protected by the First Amendment. So I think that's kind of a tactical error by some of these opponents. Pastor Johnson has really gone away from that, you know, and I think that's the right move, because the more you talk about it as being anti-Christian, the more it becomes, you know, the First Amendment issue, specifically not of speech, but of religious protection. Daniel Herring is in favor of this show, and he's there to praise the city council. Remember, I said there's two sides now. The two sides are showing up.
I'm really proud of all of you for not bending to the AG and that stupid letter he sent.
The Attorney General.
I honestly wasn't going to go. I hadn't thought much about it at all. I mean, I knew it was coming, you know, but I wasn't planning on going. But then I read that letter, and I swear it sounded just like an ad for the show. It made it sound so good. I cannot wait for this show.
Yeah. I need you to stick to the topic we're talking about.
I'm done. No, I'm good. Sorry. Thought I saw a crossroads.
It was kind of during a little different portion of the meeting. So you still had, obviously, opponents. But remember I played for you the audio of the candidate, Rick Barnes, for District 2 for the State House, and how he showed up at the school board telling them that, you know, if they pursued banning books or removing books, that he was going to, you know, he was going to be on them, you know, if they did that, that when he's in the State House, he'll be able to use his power. I think he overestimates, A, his chances as a Democrat, B, his power, even if he is elected as a Democrat, to do anything. But he was also at this meeting talking about, you know, he's gay, by the way, if that helps you understand where he's likely to be on this issue. Not that it would be definitive, but on this particular issue.
You'll also notice that there were a lot of things involved. We had Hulbert marching color guard. Mahalia Jackson from the gospel community
at a gay pride event.
We also had a drag show
previously held on city
property. Very important. It was held at Seville Park. It was held outside. It was held for the general public to enjoy. And the protesters brought their children, and we also provided a nice place protected by the gay flag for the protesters to certainly raise their voice in protest.
And so if it's okay to have that, why is it now not okay to have this? Well, I think the opponents would say, well, it's a question of obscenity. It's not the question of gay pride, although they might oppose that too. But they're specifically opposing this for it being an obscene thing. But, you know, he says, look, I'm in favor of this, and, you know, you guys keep fighting about it. But, you know, we need to make sure that we're not just protecting the people who are against this, but also the performers and the attendees, that they have rights to attend as well. And that's an important consideration. Austin Witt, also another supporter.
Good evening to all of you. Tonight I wanted to speak in strong support of the Drag Queen Christmas Show coming to Pensacola December 23rd. A celebration in my eyes of joy, artistry, and community that reflects the very best of what holiday season can mean for more than just ourselves as individuals. The holidays is not just about our own traditions or our own family values. It's about everyone having a good time. It's about equality. It's about freedom of choice.
And so for them, the celebration is a meaningful one. It's not meant to be obscenity. It's not meant to be poke you in the eye. It's not meant to be hostile to anybody. It's meant to be something positive.
I think for the first time in quite a while, as a queer person in Pensacola, Florida, I'm proud of what we have said in response to the comments that have been made about this show. Some comments have been definitely unexpected, specifically from folks at this table. Thank you guys for not only using your brain, but also knowing how to read policy without including your personal opinion.
So he's praising the city council, and he says for the first time as a queer person, he's proud of our city for standing up to the people on the other side trying to shut down a show that is meaningful to him.
There's a difference between enacting policy and enacting personal and private bias. Something that we left Europe for way long ago, I'm bringing it back there, y'all, was religious persecution. And it's ironic to me that I feel a majority of our population right now is trying to bring that type of persecution and that fear back to communities like mine. It's disheartening, but it's nice to know that it's not everyone's consensus.
So if you thought it was over, it's not over. It's not on the agenda. Next week's agenda is not out, but I do not expect it to be on the agenda at all this month. Nevertheless, I do expect there to be more conversation about this at next week's city council meeting. I do expect there to be protests, pro and con, out at the Sanger when the event happens, and probably more publishing of things online. In case you're new to the show and you haven't heard me talk about this before, I'm relatively neutral on drag shows. I think some of them are very entertaining and funny, and some of them are, you know, awful. I think that this one in the past, or ones put on by this group in the past, have crossed the line into obscenity. But the Sanger says that they will stop it if it does, and PPD says they will stop it if it does, and that's all there is to it. If it doesn't violate the obscenity laws, then it must be allowed. If it does violate the obscenity laws, that's something you can't know in advance. As a religious matter, 2 days before Christmas, again, the more it's a religious issue, the more it's protected. So I don't think it's smart of the protesters to make it about religion, even though it is clearly the proximity to Christmas that got them started on this in the first place. If the drag show had been in June, I don't think anybody would have said a thing. 623, because there have been drag shows at the Sanger, and nobody said a thing. 623 on News Radio 92.3, I'm Andrew McKay.
Season's greetings from our Gulf Breeze Natural Gas team. Holiday nights means it's time to gather around your fireplace with your family. We are proud to serve all of Gulf Breeze and Pensacola Beach. If you'd like to learn more about the benefits of natural gas for your home or business, please visit gulfbreezenaturalgas.com. We also offer appliance rebates. And remember, we are here to help make natural gas your holiday style, your holiday comfort, and your energy.
Join the Great Southern Restaurant Group, home to the Fish House, Atlas Oyster House, Jackson's, Angelina's, and Five Sisters, Wednesday at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. They'll be discussing Atlas Beverage Class, holiday hours, gift cards, New Year's Eve Restaurant Week, and so much more. Wednesday at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel with Great Southern Restaurants.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Hi, this is Lisa Seltenreich with Morgan & Morgan, wishing everyone a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
May your Christmas be filled with joy, love, and laughter. This is Darren and Christy Costello at Costello's Butcher Shop and Deli, wishing you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Hi, this is Chris Burns with Burns Estate Planning and Wealth Advisors. I want to wish everyone a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
This is Sarah Gatewood with Florida Power & Light, wishing you a Happy Holidays to you and your family from ours.
The Dave Ramsey Show, weeknight 7 to 10, before WEAR TV News, on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
There's one thing I've learned in all my years. Sometimes you gotta say, what the f-?
Let's do it.
All right, this doesn't really have to do with anything in particular, but I was just watching Fox News was covering the Venezuela situation and the President Nicolas Maduro, and it suddenly occurred to me that Nicolas Maduro looks an awful lot like Joseph Stalin.
What?
Look him up. Look the both of them up and tell me I'm wrong. Tell me I'm wrong. Hairstyle and mustache. If you get the right picture here, let me show you the two that I'm looking at, okay? So, here, John, yep. Okay? That's Nicolas Maduro, okay? You got me, okay? That's Joseph Stalin. Now you see?
Now I see what you're saying. Interesting.
No, I think Stalin had a little bit more flair on his mustache. He had a little bit
more. Bloop.
This, Maduro's one is kind of straight down. It ends right at the sides of his mouth, but... except for the fact that, of course, the one guy's Hispanic and the one guy's, not. Well, but, yeah. you know, swarthy nevertheless for a white guy. I'm just saying that there's a resemblance. I think Nicolas Maduro could win first place in a Joseph Stalin impersonation contest.
Yeah, he'd just have to dye his hair a little.
Yeah, a little bit. All right. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. We're back to rolling accident-free right now. I-10, I-110 are all looking good. If you are on Highway 29 approaching 9 Mile Road intersection southbound, you're going to see just a minor delay, but that's everything I can see right now. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. Oh, somebody says it's not just me. They thought it looked like Stalin, too. That's funny. Somebody else texted in about the drag show. I like what Little Richard said about self-righteous Christians and obscenity. They're not as holy as they seem, and if you don't like it, don't buy it. Some of them may be as holy as they seem. I mean, yeah, self-righteousness or, condemnation of people's lifestyle just always is a weird fit for me. You do transgressors. Yeah, but that's not – it's funny. People think that that means I, hate trans or hate gay or something like that. No. The ideology around it is what I'm targeting, not so much the persons themselves. I actually have a lot of care and concern for them, which I think is my obligation as a Christian. I'm supposed to care about everybody. Somebody says, if the drag show doesn't appeal to you, don't attend. This isn't that hard unless you're determined to infringe on the constitutional rights of others. 437-1620. Somebody says, I would like to welcome all the members of Pensacola Law Enforcement who have chosen to join us here at the Sanger Theater at this time. We certainly hope you enjoy the show. Like from the Blues Brothers.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. That's awesome.
David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Good morning. Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem says the man accused of shooting two National Guard members was radicalized in the U.S.
We do believe it was through connections in his home community and state, and we're going to continue to talk to those who interacted with him, who were his family members.
Noem making those comments from on NBC's Meet the Press. The suspect, of course, a 29-year-old Afghan national who worked with the CIA during the global war on terror.
One thing. Remember, Cash Patel made the comment about how he wasn't vetted properly. Kristi Noem seems to be implying that it doesn't really matter whether he was vetted properly or not, which I think is true. You can be radicalized later. Also, the stuff I've read, this guy sounds like he really had some, and this is not to excuse anything, really had some mental health issues, was a little bit deranged. It was like would lock himself in his room for weeks at a time. And even like the only thing that would get him to come out or do anything was like sending the kid in after him kind of thing. Like it's there's a lot of backstory on who he was and how he was adjusting to life in the United States. Again, that doesn't excuse anything, but, the picture I think some people had of this was, some radicalized lone wolf actor who, based on some movie, goes, I just don't know that it turned. He actually made a cross-country trip to Chicago or something at one point for no reason at all. Anyway, go ahead, David.
At least 146 people have died after a massive fire swept through a high-rise housing complex in Hong Kong last week. Officials raised that death toll on Sunday. About 40 people are still missing.
Very good, David. Thanks so much for the update. Somebody else says, I just don't like the mindset of something bothers me or tempts me, and so I have to ban it for everybody. Yeah, I don't know that that's exactly the case here. Bothers me, yes. Tempts me, no. Maybe for some. You know, maybe for some. But I just, you know, the one thing about this is it has actually become a more interesting conversation because both sides are participating, which, you know, for civic discourse, that's kind of the goal.
News. I'm Gianna Gelosi. Special Envoy Steve Witkoff is headed to Russia for talks with Vladimir Putin after weekend talks between U.S. and Ukrainian officials about ending the war.
Secretary of State Marco Rubio had a measured tone when he spoke about the negotiations with a Ukrainian delegation in Florida over the weekend. Rubio is optimistic, but he's also frank that the talks have been complex because they're not only looking to accomplish a short-term goal of stopping the war, they say they're also eyeing a long-term goal with Ukraine's future in mind.
That's Fox's Madeline Rivera. The man accused of murdering UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson back in court today.
Attorneys for Luigi Mangione are back in court in New York today to argue the notebook found in his backpack upon arrest should not be allowed in at trial. This is the notebook that allegedly contained hostile writings about the healthcare industry and other executives.
That's Fox's Jessica Rosenthal. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3, and right now we've got 55 and cloudy in Pensacola. We'll get to our forecast with meteorologist Brooke Richardson in just a few minutes. Escambia County putting its putting money into building its emergency medical services workforce. The Board of County Commissioners recently approved a $76,000 investment to send 14 EMTs to paramedic training at Pensacola State College. The scholarship program is funded entirely by revenue from emergency services. Paramedic Delana Hayes, who was the county's 2025 EMT of the year, one of those students taking advantage of the scholarship. PSC's paramedic program has a 100% employment rate for graduates. County officials say that program helps to retain talented employees and make sure the community has the emergency services that it needs. A teenager could face charges for a crash that killed an unborn child in Escambia County. FHP says two pickup trucks collided Sunday morning in Cantonment. Troopers say a 17-year-old Molino boy turned into the path of the other truck driven by a pregnant 21-year-old Cantonment woman. Both drivers and the woman's passenger were taken to the hospital. The woman lost her unborn child. Investigators say charges are pending against the teenager. Well, imagine being on a flight when the plane suddenly takes a violent nosedive. That's just what happened on a JetBlue flight back in October. A solar flare caused the airplane's software to malfunction. The results were terrifying. Passenger Shelley Walsh.
It was such a violent, sudden drop. The flight attendant went completely horizontal, hit the ceiling, flew back down to the ground.
Airbus.
15 people were hurt badly enough to have to go to the hospital. Airbus pushed out a mandatory software update to 6,000 planes worldwide to prevent that from happening again. Each aircraft took a few hours to update. American and Delta have reportedly finished their updates. The Mobile Airbus facility that produces the A320 planes was a key part in making sure the updates were completed. Secretary of State Marco Rubio met with a Ukrainian delegation in Florida on Sunday. Peace talks to end the war with Russia continue. Rubio called it a productive session.
We continue to be realistic about how difficult this is, but optimistic, particularly given the fact that as we've made progress, I think there is a shared vision here that this is not just about ending the war, which is very important. It is about securing Ukraine's future.
Sticking points to the 28-point U.S. plan reportedly include Ukraine giving up territory and limiting the size of its military. The head of Ukraine's delegation, though, thanked the U.S. for its efforts to support his country. And for his part, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky said important days lie ahead in the negotiations. Now, the Florida Gators' next head football coach is a proven winner and an exceptional leader. That's what Florida Athletic Director Scott Strickland said yesterday about John Sumrall. The 43-year-old is currently the Tulane head coach, but He'll be taking over in Gainesville once his Green Wave finished their season. They're 10-2 and getting set to play in the American Conference Championship game. 6:35 at News Radio 92.3. And John's got a look at our traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents right now. I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. If you're on 98 going eastbound right past the Navarre Beach Bridge, you'll see just a minor delay, but that's all I'm seeing. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much. Now our Channel 3 forecast.
We are going to have about a 50% chance of those showers and thunderstorms going through the day today. Most of the rain chances is going to be later on into the evening hours. Highs today near 69 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 57. Going into Tuesday, those early morning showers will continue, coming to an end as we go into the commuting hours. High on Tuesday afternoon near 65 degrees. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 41. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, John. Thank you very much, Brooke. It's 6:35 at News Radio 92.3. 55, we've got cloudy skies. Your next news in 30 minutes and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
Actual price will depend on product and subscription plan. Featured products or compounded drug products, which the FDA does not approve or verify for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. See website for details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Want a boost in and out of the bedroom? Hims has you covered. Introducing a new 2-in-1 approach to level up your game. Tadalafil for better bedroom performance and zinc for testosterone support. Put it all together and you've got what you need to turn things all the way up. Getting started is simple. Just go to hims.com/joy to start your free online visit. Through Hims, you can access ED treatments, including pills, chews, and more, 100% online. No office visits, no pharmacy lines. Just fill out a simple intake form, and a licensed medical provider will determine if treatment's right for you. If prescribed, it ships free and discreetly to your door. Find affordable treatment options at up to 95% less than brand names at hims.com/joy. That's hims.com/joy, hims.com/joy.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
If you have an HD radio in your car, you can listen to News Radio 92.3 from Fort Walton Beach all the way to the Mississippi line.
You heard me right. Here's how.
Tune to 98.7, wait a few seconds until you see the HD signal displayed, then turn the radio up two clicks to HD3. Then you can listen to Andrew McKay, Pet Talk with Meg, Marpy Van Camp and Robbins, and Petscola Right Now, all over the Gulf Coast. It's News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
And Reed Sharpia leads the team out. Sharpia having a knockout season. Why he is a Harlan Hill nominee. He'll go three receivers, tight formation, balls between the hashes, looking to throw on first down. Sharpia has a man out of the flat. Oh my, he's got room to run. Sharpia found him, slipped out of the backfield, and it's Quez Spells to the house. An electric start for the Wolves as Fells takes it the distance.
One play, 82 yards, 7-0. That's how the game started for the Argos on Saturday. So then we got the ball. So all is well. 3rd and 10, UWF 25, Marcus Stokes.
Stokes takes it. They bring pressure. He slides up in the pocket. Gets away from the first man. Gets hit as he throws it. It's up for grabs. It's going to be intercepted. Probably shouldn't have thrown that one. Watkins Hogue has to bring down the defender.
Our first series. Their first series, one play, 82-yard touchdown. Our first series, interception. On 4th and 8 at the UWF 18, Newberry's with the ball.
He's waiting on the snap. Oh, it bounces, and it gets blocked. Bad snap. The kick is going to be no good, and the Argos dodge the bullet. on the interception.
So we managed to get no points against us on the interception, getting lucky, or, well, special teams, good play blocking the ball. But, you know, 10 minutes of gameplay later, 7 minutes of gameplay later with 3 minutes to go in the first quarter, Newberry has it again, third and goal on the one.
And Coleman's going to take the snap as the QB. No Reed Sharpie on the field. It is all power formation, and they'll go directly to Norris, stretched out. Can the Argos get him before he gets in? No. He gets the corner, and that's what that game was all about. Can you get to the corner? And Jonah Norris takes it in, and it's a two-score lead for the Newberry Wolves.
What do they call that, Buffalo? Is that what he calls the Buffalo package? I don't know. No quarterback. You know, just a direct snap to the running
back.
That's
called Wildcat.
I know Wildcat is, but I thought there was also another. Anyway.
Oh.
They scored on that. So 14-0. UWF has fourth and goal. Fourth and goal on the four. Okay, so we're threatening with 12 minutes to go in the second quarter.
In the gun. Zero protection. They bring a running back in motion. It's TJ. He fires it towards the end zone and throws wide of Trevon Durden at the goal line. Had him if he could have put the ball on him, but misses him, and the Argos turn it over on downs.
So opportunities, and you remember the old Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, you know, where UConn Cornelius is always throwing his pickaxe up in the sky. Nothing, you know, that's how it felt. A lot of nothing when he's tasting the end of the pickaxe to see if there's silver
really
or gold.
Good.
I have watched it more than one time.
Okay.
So with 6 minutes to go in the half, UWF first and goal at the 7 again.
Well, they'll put two receivers near side, ball's on the far hash. Stokes will pull it. He'll go RPO. He puts his head down, in for a touchdown, takes a big hit 2 yards deep in the end zone, but Marcus Stokes puts it in. The Argos get their first touchdown of the day. Touchdown,
finally.
Argos.
Finally, 14-7 with 6 minutes to go in the half and a 7-point lead. RPO is a run-pass option. It means that he can either run it or pass it. Newberry gets a field goal from 26 yards out, so that makes it 17-7 with 2:41 to go. UWF with the ball on about the 20, times running low fourth down, but they bring out their kicker, and it's not the normal kicker they've had all year, Tyler Patterson. And boy, I told you, the penalties and kick game have been our problem this year.
Here we go, 41 yarder, Tyler Patterson on the Mike Shine hold. The snap is down, the kick is up. And will it be good?
Looks good, Will.
Yes, it is. 41 yards out. Tyler Patterson knocks it home.
I believe the sound effect you're looking for is... Not the prettiest kick ever, but it went through the uprights, which is... I don't know. It's the best I got. All right, so...
That's the best.
Then Newberry's got the ball coming back the other way on the UWF 42, looking to get it into field goal range right before the end of the half. 10 seconds to go in the half.
So Sharpie comes back in after missing a play.
Still up 7.
And they'll send Spells out to the right. Here come the Argos with some pressure, and they're going to get him this time. Oh, my Lord! Lorenzo Payne, with an offensive lineman still engaged, just grabs the quarterback and takes both of them backwards into Newberry territory, and it's the first sack of the game, and it is massive.
18-yard sack, way out of field goal range. They just went into the half and left it at that. So at this point, the Argos are down by 7. Now remember, Newberry beat us in 2021 to knock us out of the playoffs. So there's a little bit of history here, but, you know, and UWF is not the world-beater team that it has been sometimes in the past this year. It's a good team who struggles with kicking and struggles with penalties. They have all the tools for running. They have all the defense is amazing, typically. The defense is fantastic, but the offense, you know, is, you know, sometimes has great tools. Okay, so we go into the second half, third quarter. UWF is trailing by 7, first and 10 on the Newberry 22.
The ball was at the 22, first down there. Stokes gets rid of it. Touchdown, Argos. It is the big boy, Jake Robinette,
into the
end zone. The tight end strikes again.
Yeah, love to see that. Jake Robinette, a guy that's not afraid to block, not afraid to catch.
Tie game at this point. So 17-17, then with 7 minutes to go, and this is your UWF Argos Play of the Week brought to you by Bogey's Golf Suites and Sports Bar, which is a great place to play games like golf, like hockey, like zombie dodgeball, like football, like baseball. They have virtual screens, so you can play all kinds of things. It's really an amazing setup. I've been there. John and I have tried out their stuff, and they have, it's really fun to play. You can go there for team building exercise. You can go there for a meeting. You can go there to watch the game. You can go there after the game. They have a full bar, full service menu for food, wings, pizza, salad, smoothies. You can watch sports or come after the game when they win or if they don't win. Bring your friends. Bogey's a perfect place for individuals or groups. A great place to celebrate birthdays and special occasions. Play, practice, and party at Bogey's Golf Suites and Sports Bar, located on the UWF Parkway, just north of Nine Mile by the UWF campus, or online at bogeysgolfsuites.com. We'll have that play of the game for you in just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. I-10, I-110 look good. Highway 29, 90, 98. I'm not seeing any delays this morning. I'm John Bickens with your traffic on the fives.
All right, thanks so much, John. Okay, so it's third and goal. Newberry has the ball on the six, so they are about to score with 7 minutes to go in the third quarter.
Sharpie walks him back up. Play clock at five now. They check out a one play. Looks to pass, fires it over the middle. It's tipped. It's intercepted. Kobe Clinton gets tripped up. I think he was looking at a bunch of green, and now we're going to get a roughing the passer, but it's after the interception.
The interception still stood. They staved off a score at that point, right? So it's a tie game, and Jacoby Clinton got the interception to stop that drive. UWF 4th-and-7 at the Newberry 28 with 3 minutes to go in the third quarter.
Stokes back to pass. Pressure coming, fires middle of the field, intercepted.
Ugh.
Just threw it right to the defender, and he's got a wall up the sideline.
It's just rare.
Stepped out of bounds, it looked like, but Stokes just didn't see the defender.
And it ran back to the 42, so they're about to midfield. Newberry's coming the other way on 3rd-and-10.
Four wide receivers, single back is on his right shoulder. Takes the snap, Argos do bring pressure, and again, flush him out to his left. Oh, pops up in the air. Did they get it? I think they did. It's a new UWF record. Chester Fearon with his 5th interception on the season. CJ, where you been?
Good Lord. it's not like watching the Illinois Northwestern game where they're playing in a foot of snow and there's nobody in the stands because it's too cold and the ball's an icicle out there. It's regular football, and they just throwing trading interceptions, basically. So 4th-and-goal on the 4. Tyler Patterson is in to kick a field goal for UWF. This would be for the lead with 13 minutes to go in the game.
It's a 20-yarder. Patterson puts it up, knocks it. No good. Missed it to the right.
What did I say about kicking?
I thought it stuck on the outside. Just maybe that's over. We talked about over-kicking, and he over-kicked that one. He just needed to swing through it, and Coach Nobles is talking to his kicker, but that's a big miss.
So had a chance for, we could have gone for it on 4th-and-goal on the 4, and we maybe could have got a touchdown. Did not even get a field goal out of it. And then the worst news of all is Marcus Stokes had been hit weird on a play previously. Jordan Glass on the sideline.
Yeah, guys, not looking good right now for Marcus Stokes, starting quarterback for the Argos. He's actually on the sideline with his helmet and shoulder pads off. Probably not going to see him back in the game, which means number 7, Tony Bartolo, will be taking over at quarterback position here for the Argos in the fourth quarter.
Oh, man, and they're needing to score, right? Needing offense to get ahead. It's 17-17 at this point. 5 minutes to go in the half. Newberry, 1st-and-10 at the UWF 22.
Sharpia sets up 2nd-and-10, looks back over. They want to bring in a different play. We'll see if Coach Cabell Connor, the defensive coordinator for the Argos, does he bring any pressure? They're not showing it. Then they do. They walk up. He fires it as a man. It's a touchdown. That's a sure.
That's another busted coverage.
Busted coverage, and the pressure came. I tell you what, Reed Sharpia makes them pay. That kid is dynamic.
24-17. Reed Sharpia is phenomenal. I would not want to play against him. So they've got 5 minutes, and they've got a chance to, drive the field. Now, normally with Marcus Stokes, you wouldn't think this is all that hard, but Tony Bartolo is in for him. Tony is a very, very capable quarterback. They get it all the way down to the other end of the field. It's 4th-and-2 at the Newberry 28. There's about a minute to go. So they got time to run another, to run a run play. Run plays are very reliable for the Argos. They can definitely get the first down, and then they can build an offense to get inside the red zone and go down and score. But 4th-and-2 at the 28, 1:16 to go, down by 7.
They'll go quick snap. Bartolo throws it. They're going for it all. Wow, no flags at all. Good coverage over there as he was locked up on Trevon Durden. And they went for it instead of running the football. And that's
I don't know that I like that play call whatsoever.
If you make it, you're a hero. Otherwise, it looks like the kind of play you shouldn't have run. 4th-and-2, a minute to go, plenty of time. And they go for the touchdown instead of the short, just pick up the first down and keep playing. I mean, you get to be a head coach by making the hard calls. That's a little bit more, you know, a little less bravery and more foolish risk, in my opinion.
A second or third down play. It's not fourth.
Fourth and two, when all you got to do is get the first down and keep going. But that's it. That's how the game ended. You know, the victory formation on the other side, Newberry advances, and Argos come home for the year. Great season into the playoffs for second year for Caleb. Second year coaching for Caleb, I think. Could be third. I think it's only second, though. Anyway, but yeah, it's all over for the Argos, and that's it. 6:49 on News Radio 92.3. I wish I had better news for you, but I can't, you know, I can't make up the facts. 437-1620 is my phone number if you ever want to weigh in on anything. If you need to buy hardware, you need to do a home improvement project, you need to repair something, or you build things for a living, Pensacola Hardware is your place. They have been there. They have been your place since before you were here and since before your grandfather was here and since before your great-grandfather was here. Like 174 years, they have been selling people hardware and tools and advice and helping them build and rebuild and remodel Pensacola right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street. Also, now that it is officially into Christmas season, remember that the front of Pensacola Hardware is housewares. So it's grills and cookware and cast iron skillets and SEC merchandise and Yeti and knives and all kinds of cool stuff that you can buy for that hard-to-buy-for person in your life. Or that person is maybe not hard to buy for, but you want to buy them something really good. They have really good stuff. Anyway, Pensacola Hardware right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street.
It all comes down to this, folks.
Yep, the entire season is on the line.
But my throat has officially thrown in the towel.
Sounds like you need Vicks VapoCool drops. They're max strength and vaporized sore throat pain.
Whoa! These VapoCool drops hit fast!
Speaking of fast, did you just see that play?
Yeah, he vaporized that ball.
That pun should have come with a penalty.
Vaporized sore throat pain with Vicks VapoCool drops. Use as directed. VapoCool.
The cooler weather in Pensacola is a great time of the year for gardening. Whether it's planting roses, planting shrubs and trees in cool weather color, and of course, planning for spring. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got gardening questions, we've got answers on the News Radio Garden Line every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesdays, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9.
Sponsored by Pensacola Hardware, Blue Sky Landscaping, and Bailey's Produce and Nursery.
Stream us online at newsradio923.com or download the News Radio Pensacola app.
You know the way you smell when you first come home from the beach? Well, I want to make a cologne that captures the essence of that smell.
This falls into the category of music I know you do not know. But it's good, right?
No, but I like it.
It's a band called Shaded Red, and I think they might have only had the one album, but it's called Caught. And it's one of my favorite songs, just kind of odd deep cut off of an album nobody's ever heard of.
Right.
So, yeah, there you go. All right, 6:52 here on News Radio 92.3. Oh, I did, on my Facebook page, I posted the Nicolas Maduro picture next to the Joseph Stalin picture. And Debbie writes, yeah, mustaches are tyranny. It's fact. not quite sure that's the lesson, but they do look similar. It means nothing, but it's still funny. All right, David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning. More than 200 Border Patrol agents are reportedly being sent to Louisiana, sparking some talk that New Orleans could be the next city targeted in the federal immigration crackdown. Of course, similar operations have already gone through Chicago, Los Angeles, and Charlotte. Pope Leo weighing in on the conflict in the Middle East, saying a two-state solution is the fair path forward for Israelis and Palestinians. He shared those remarks while he was flying from Turkey to Lebanon on the final leg of his first international trip as Pope. And a big case before the Supreme Court today that could impact everyday internet users. The justices are considering how much blame internet service providers should carry for music piracy that happens on their networks. Cox Communications, the country's largest private broadband provider, says that if the standards become too strict, it could be forced to cut service to homes, hotels, even hospitals, based on accusations tied to a single IP address.
All right, David, thank you so much for the update. If you are considering getting that next vehicle, Frontier Motors has a great selection of good quality used cars. Cars that they're going to warranty all their cars to 100,000 miles or 10 years because they're going to take care of you. But they know they're selling you good cars. That's all they really buy is good quality cars. You know, like our car was a year old, our Honda Odyssey that we bought from them. It had come back from an auction. Basically, they went to Orlando at the Honda dealer, had put it up for auction because they have had a very strict policy. If it doesn't sell in 90 days, it was a pre-owned certified. It was a year old. It had 12,000 miles on it. And it was a great car. And they didn't sell it. It went to auction. You know, Frontier bought it, and we bought it. Like, we went just looking to test drive a car because at that time, that's the way we do. We always want to test drive a car before we buy it to make sure it's what we want. Because it's funny when you drive a car. You might be like, well, I really like this, but I don't know if I like that, right? And then there's different, you know, trim levels and various models, and you can decide, you know, you might get close but not quite. And so you want to find the one you want, and then you can look for price, and you want to do it when you're not stressed out. That's how I recommend you buy cars. Well, that's what we were doing, and they just happened to have one. They were hard to find. We drove it. We loved it. They worked with us on the price, and we bought it. I mean, it was that simple. So I'm a big fan. I love Frontier Motors. Serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. I-10, I-110 are still looking good. 90, 98, 29, they're all flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. Oh, you know, one person texted in about the whole drag queen Christmas thing and how, you know, sometimes opposing a thing brings it more fame because you're obviously it's been in the news a lot because of the opposition. Agreed. It's the Barbara Streisand effect, which is kind of what they call it now. You remember, I'm a little hazy on the details here, but I think I've got this right. Barbara Streisand wanted her house not to be searchable on like Google Earth or Street View or whatever. And so because she protested it, it became the most downloaded picture on the internet. You know, like all you had to say was don't, and suddenly everybody did.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's kind of like the I actually had not known this, but it makes perfect sense. I guess Monty Python, The Life of Brian, you know, which is kind of a satire of the circumstances surrounding Jesus' life, but it's not really much about Jesus, although he's in it. There's this one funny scene where they're all standing around at the Sermon on the Mount, but they're like at the edge of the crowd and they can barely hear what's going on. What did he say? Blessed are the weak, you know, like blessed are the, you know, the bleak, you know, like, I mean, I don't remember the quote, but they can't, they're getting it wrong because they're at such a distance, and he gets mistaken for the Messiah, all this kind of, it's funny. Well, at the same time, it's, you know, viewed as blasphemy when it first came out. And as is often the case, my people didn't watch the movie. They just protested it because, you know, that's how we do. I mean, that's not how I do. I'm saying that my people, my Christian conservatives, we have a habit of doing this really dumb thing of we hear a thing is bad and so we go protest it. Like when Dogma came out, you know, I watched it, you know, The Last Temptation of Christ. I watch it. You should always watch a thing before you have an opinion about it. Anyway, so The Life of Brian became the thing that was popular to ban. You know, like counties were banning it, cities were banning it, even places that did not have theaters were banning it just to say they were on the banning list, you know, like to prove how right they are. And even countries. And then apparently the one country that kind of broke the banning trend was Sweden because they saw an opportunity. So they went the other way. They said, come see the film. It's so funny. It was banned in Norway. Just kind of awesome. And from there, it went on to be, you know, very successful, very widely distributed. The highest grossing British film of the year, over $19 million in 1979. So the controversy that was meant to destroy it made it a phenomenon. And frankly, from my point of view, it's not the best Monty Python. I mean, Holy Grail is much better as a movie. Sorry if you love Life of Brian, that's fine. It's not the great masterpiece that some people seem to think it is. But the point is, the more you oppose a thing, the more you know, you give it press, you give it attention, you give it air. So, just, you know, keep that in mind. 6:58 on News Radio 92.3. What was the there's a passage in the Bible that talks about this when the Sanhedrin is talking about Jesus, right? Where, you know, they're trying to decide what to do about him, and the advice is, well, leave him be. And, you know, if it fizzles like all the others have fizzled, then it fizzles. And if it's of God and it prospers, well, then we're not on the wrong side of it. I mean, you know, not saying the drag show Christmas is on the God side, but, you know, maybe wait and see. And if nothing happens, nothing happens, right? 6:58 on News Radio 92.3. Did you know that George Clooney was up for the role that Brad Pitt played in Thelma and Louise? The drifter that they picked up, the Robin that they, you know, yeah.
No,
George
I didn't
Clooney
know that.
Auditioned for this and did not get the job, and he was angry at Brad Pitt for years. Angry-ish, you know, like he didn't want to watch the movie because, you know, he felt like he was in TV on ER and Brad Pitt got his whole movie career started with this. And George Clooney's like, that should have been my movie career. So later on, and it was eventually, of course, and they're good friends now. But Clooney was sitting with Gina Davis on a plane one time and she was talking to him about it. And, you know, she's like, oh, so you really don't like him, do you? And he's like, no, I really, you know, we're whatever. And she's like, well, you know, why didn't, you know, did you try out for it? And he's like, I literally read the script with you.
No.
She didn't even remember.
Oh, my goodness.
Listen on air at 90. 90-